off the ball.
Rugby.
It's the first time I've seen a real confidence and a swagger in their attack. Cohesion in passing and stuff, and that's quite telling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hurling on Off the Ball.
With Apple Green, making every journey a winning one.
This is News Talk.
I'm delighted to be joined by Dublin hurler Liam Rush, who is speaking as PwC today announced the renewal of its partnership with the GAA, the GPA and the Camogie Association for a further 3 years, continuing its sponsorship of the PwC All-Stars, PwC Camogie All-Stars, PwC GAA GPA Player of the Month and PwC GPA Women's Player of the Month awards. This extension will take PwC's sponsorship of the GAA All-Stars past 10 years. Liam, how are you keeping?
Oh, I've been better. I've been better, Rachel. Yeah.
It's always tough to do these media events, especially considering the weekend that you had. Is it too soon to ask where the headspace is after the game?
Yeah, ask me in another couple of weeks. Ah, no, look, we just didn't perform. We made a hero of Ira Quilligan on the day instead of just keeping our head and probably keeping the scoreboard ticking over and, you know, going 10 minutes plus their second half without a score was just too long. So, and then added to the break as well from the long injury. So it was just, yeah, momentum, all momentum gone. It was just a chaotic day and wasn't to be, unfortunately.
It was, it seemed even in the first 15 minutes that Clare might have gotten a real foothold of the game and they were almost going to really take control. But credit where credit's due, you really brought it back and you were well within it at halftime. What did it feel like on the day?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. That it would definitely first 15 minutes they had it far too easy. We kind of shifted formation a little bit, moved people around, tightened it up a lot, and then slowly started getting back into it. Yeah, I mean, it could have been a lot closer. We two good saves first half from Quilligan. I remember Donald Burks in particular, pretty good chance. So yeah, so we could have been going in level or better at halftime, and it was the story of the day, you know, creating the chances, just not taking them, and yeah, just slowly kind of the air just kind of went out of it there in the second half. But yeah, that was it. They definitely came out all guns blazing at the start. We managed to wrestle back kind of control for second quarter and opening of the third. We got back to within a point or two, I think. And then just, yeah, they just figured it out.
Donald Burke, he had a savage game. Probably maybe a little bit of an over-reliance from him and a lot of the scores coming from place balls as well. It's hard to build that momentum when you've been knocking at the door for a goal as well. And when Quilligan pulls off those great saves, it just breathes new life back into Clare, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It allowed them to sit back as well. Like, we know ourselves. We just went bald-headed for goal from way too long out. You know, from 10, 15 minutes out, we were just trying for goal after goal. Don't ask me why. We just should have kept the scoreboard ticking over. Like I said, made a hero of Ivor. Look, he made some great saves there. And yeah, it seems to be working. You know, when Hedgehog's on top winning ball, we're creating chances. That's all well and good. But when the scoreboard's not actually moving, you know, it's kind of to your detriment. So yeah, but just that was just the story of the day. Clare, we're sharper, I suppose. A lot more clinical, you know, a lot more clinical, and we're able to get scores a lot easier.
Is it also a bit of a good sign in that there's such confidence in this group that they think that they can be shooting from goals instead of maybe playing really defensive and just popping those balls over the bar? Like, it's a sign of a team that think we belong here and, you know, we know exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, look, the team definitely has, like, high scoring capacity, showed it last year, big comebacks, multiple goals. I just feel like we ran out of luck there on Saturday. If a couple of those went in, particularly first half, you know, you're right in it and the momentum's completely different as it was. Just too many in the second half, save after save, or it's just not great execution, fewer blazed over, things like that. So, but yeah, like the creation of chances hasn't been a problem, I suppose. It's been the execution. Like, I'm not sure the exact number, but we probably converted less than 50% of our chances, you know, at the weekend, and you're not going to win any game with that.
I know, especially so recently after a loss as well, it's hard to take any positives, but is it more of a positive that you can put your finger on exactly where the game went wrong, or does that just make it a little bit more frustrating?
No, like, overall, you know, we're relatively happy. Like I said, bar the conversion, that's the one that kills you, you know. But like, structurally, we held up pretty well. Like, they have a very dangerous full forward line. I think we gave them one proper goal chance in the first half, good save, or maybe one in the second, two good saves from Eddie. But beyond that, you know, when you think that it's Shane O'Donnell and Peter Duggan and the supporting cast inside, Mark Rogers, like, they're very dangerous front eight, really. You know, they can get scores from anywhere. We were happy with where we had them, you know, at halftime and coming into the third quarter, but we just couldn't, you know, as a team, like, we you know, wides from cornerback, from wingback, it wasn't anyone in particular. It's just a team issue on the day.
And obviously the injury to Reedy was serious. And even watching from television, it was, you could tell that there was a very tense atmosphere in Thurles at the time. It took the entire bite and momentum out of the game as well, though, didn't it?
Oh, it did, yeah. Sure. The game stopped for 15 minutes. I think at the time, it was probably in Clare's favour, so it probably helped us a bit. I know we were scrambling for goals, but we weren't converting them. So I don't think it helped anybody, to be honest. It just really, I suppose, really just killed the game, didn't it? It was 13 minutes at a time after. But again, we just continued to go bald-headed for goals, instead of just chipping over and try and get within a reasonable distance and then maybe change that in the last five minutes or so. But yeah, look, it's unfortunate what happened to David. Very unfortunate. I hope he's okay. And I hope, don't know if he'll make a semi, but hopefully he'll appear in the rest of the season.
The tackle itself has opened up an entire discourse on, do we need to implement a rule into hurling to avoid this happening in the future? Because, you know, it doesn't seem to be an isolated incident in the game, and like, there was no malice involved. As someone who's recently returned to the intercounty hurling scene, is it a little bit different from a couple of years ago? Do you think something does need to be changed?
Not really. It's like, sometimes you get incidents like that, you know. I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's just not going to happen. Or higher even, how often frequently do you see someone turn their head and it was almost kind of a shoulder / chest and run, like, turn into someone like that and just get knocked out cold? That's very seldom. There's not much you can do about it. It's contact sport. That's going to happen. Players are coming up off the ground with a pickup. Yeah, look, it was a red card. No doubt, kind of, like I said, I wouldn't say it was intentional or malicious, but, you know, you get a red card and we kind of move on then, I suppose. That's the punishment. I definitely wouldn't go introducing further rules that might have unintended consequences down the line, or unrefereeable rules, which we like to bring in every now and then. I just think every now and then, like, you're going to have a coming together, an unintentional collision or head collision, and you know, we'll deal with them as they come.
We've had the setup of the hurling review committee probably taking a similar shape to the FRC. You don't want to see too much mingling with the rules, though.
It's an interesting question. There are definitely things that can be looked at. I think it's less the heavy contact, I think, is an issue, and more the pulling and dragging that's really slowing the game down. I don't have any problem with, you know, we need to revise the rule book, don't we? Because if a player's running at you and you step in their way and they run full on into you and they fall backwards, you're likely to get a free against you, whereas it should be free for charging unless you go down, you know. So the refereeing of it and maybe the definition of the rules probably does need correction. But I recall Don Logue, you know, giving out about the use of the free hand in the ruck and in the tackle. I mean, it's a decade ago now, I'd say. He was banging the drum on that, and it has become a bit of a scourge, to the point where referees have kind of stopped blowing for it because it's so common. Whereas if they blew for it straight away and said, look, that hand needs to, you know, get it off your opponent, to do that straight away, take it away, the game would be, you know, even more fluid and even faster, I think. Yeah.
Would you see that a lot as a defender as well, that you're probably getting penalised a lot more than the attacking player?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, some referees will hear contact and just blow for a free. And that's that. It happens all over the club game. Whereas if you, you know, look, it's your as a defender, your objective is to get in their way of the ball carrier. You get in his way, it should be your free. But if you're stronger, half the time they're getting the free, you know? So I really think we need to, I know you're, that sounds like a bad thing, but I'm almost saying we need more contact, more direct contact allowed, and less pulling and dragging. That would be would be my approach to it. If you know, if you wanted an improved game, I heard Dermot O'Sullivan as well on a social media reel there, suggesting that we should get rid of the back pass of the goalkeeper, which would
yeah,
be also
that was on the hurling pod, I think.
Yeah, that'd be a very interesting one too. I have to say, because it is, you know, it has become controlled. You know, back to the, you know, you win the ball back, corner back to the keeper, out the other side, and you're on the counter attack immediately. Whereas it was definitely more chaotic when the cornerback had to go down the line basically straight away. You know, it's different. But yeah, so that's a couple of points that I think would be worth looking at.
Well, we should ask them to get you onto the committee, Liam.
And the ball as well. The ball should go back to being white. That's a hill I will die on. I don't know why we have a yellow ball.
Is it to match the boots?
Not Wimbledon, like, I don't know. Yeah. No, I prefer the white ball. I have no idea why we have a yellow one. I still haven't heard a good justification.
And that's brilliant. That's really interesting. Is anything else you'd like to see change, or important not to tamper with it too much?
No, I don't think there's much wrong. I really think, yeah, the amount of pulling and interference with the hurley and interference with arms and legs by an opponent's free hand. I think it's such a difference on 20 years ago when you look at the game, when you look at the two games, it's two hands on the hurley and now it's one and one on your opponent, you know? So it's just, it is to my mind slowing it down to the point where the two players in the contest cancel each other out and it's the third and fourth man who come in who are winning the ball, you know? And I just think, yeah, it is really, really obvious in the winter games, like where it just becomes ruck after ruck and it's driven by that technically illegal tackle, but that's just being overlooked. I'd say if you just stamp down on that, cut it out, you know, it definitely open up the winter games.
And the winter games, I suppose, is where you've been most familiar with playing your championship hurling the last couple of years. Can I ask you a little bit about your return to the panel, Liam, and how it came about and when you made the decision, right, it's time? I think it was that Dublin had it up 1,743 days since your first championship start.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, it's just not that complicated at all. Like, I just had gotten so frustrated in 2022. I had three injuries, one after another, and that was like three kind of 2 to 3 month injuries, and the entire season was spent on the bench rehabbing, and I was sick of it. So just went to 2023. We were going to go traveling for kind of the winter period or January, February, and just said, look, I was so browned off with it. We just said, why come back for that? We'll just go for the whole year. And then I'd incurred a couple of shoulder injuries in actually over COVID years, 20 and 21, kind of rehabbed them, but they were getting sore and sore as time wore on. So I knew I needed surgery on that. So got home, didn't get that until the start of 24. That rolled into the Nafina season, but it wasn't like, it can be a long recovery, if you know what I mean. Like I didn't feel properly okay until like the following January. So like January 25. And then by that point, I was just, yeah, it had been a long few years with Nafina, kind of playing long club championship after club championship, and just didn't feel I had the juice to go back in for another 5 months straight with the Dubs. You know, it's like particularly lucky, moved on as well in life and in work, and there's things, other things going on, more demands, you're not in college anymore, and it's a bit more mentally taxing to keep the whole show on the road for a year straight. So yeah, didn't fancy it. And yeah, I'd spoken with Nelly about potentially coming back this year, and yeah, I'd said yes to him originally for a full year in September, and then I subsequently tore my hamstring. I was like, what am I doing? Like, forget about this. So I played most of the club championship half injured. You know, it's, you know, like anyone will tell you, like, it's a grind, you know, you don't necessarily enjoy it. Like, even obviously we won and enjoyed that, but you know, you're just getting through these games kind of, and you're going game to game, and you're half recovered, you're rehabbing, you're half recovered, you re-injure, you go again. And it's just, it can get like mentally very taxing. So after, when that was over, when we were doing Martins, I said I wouldn't, I changed my mind. And then, yeah, it was a long winter, and basically come March, for the first time in several years, I was in one piece. So that was it. Look, I just reached out and said, look, if you If there's any role there you see me playing, even if it's just to come in and higher the standard in training, that's what I'm happy to do. I was happy to give it a lash. I never intended to retire in 22. That made sense. I thought I was still able to perform at the highest level, and thought I could. Obviously, we won the club championship with Nafina and we're going strong. So, when you're performing at the highest level with the club, I thought I could keep it going. And yeah, so it's funny. Like, I know the media would obviously love an extended season, and the players would absolutely hate that and will never go back. It'll just never be turned back. But it is it's physically very demanding, and playing 4 or 5 games in 6 weeks, the group games, and then 2 weeks to the Leinster final, like a small injury, just a small calf tear, and just made it. That was me done, basically. I tried to get back for the Leinster final, got 45 minutes re-injury, and I was probably available there against Clare, but wasn't able to train beforehand. So, it's small things, but there's multiple players. It's so strange. There's so many players. We've 3 or 4 lads who lost games through injury or lost effectively the whole championship because it's such a tight window, but they still wouldn't change it. They wouldn't go back to the 9 or 10 month season where it's really dragged out. So it's very interesting.
So you wouldn't like to see the All-Ireland finals pushed out until the end of August, and we're not hurling in the height of the summer?
No, that'd be from an anecdotal basis. That'd be a firm no. It just won't happen. Everyone just prefers having, they're 6 months with one, they're 6 months with the other, and that's it. Yeah, they don't want it to bleed over again.
And just the first training session back, what was that like? There must have been a lot of players that you'd never played county with before. And I was chatting, mm-hmm. To a couple of your teammates the other day, and they were like, I don't even know if I was watching when he made his debut in 2009. I was so young.
Definitely not. Yeah. It was funny going back, I suppose, because there's two, like Dotsy and Dave Curtin are obviously selectors now, and I would have played with them for several years. So it was interesting having them in the backroom team. It was good to be back. And you're right, there was probably 25% of the team, maybe 20-25%, that was completely new from that hadn't been there when I was there last in 22. So yes, it was a big change. Some like obviously plenty of lads still there. But new faces, got to go around and shake the hands and get to know people and, find out what they're doing in college. Oh yeah.
It's a team that looks like it could stay at this level and progress over the next couple of years. Like, will you be hoping to stay on if the body holds together?
For me, I don't know. That was, let's be honest. Like, I had reservations about going back because of the physical demands of the championship in such a tight time frame, and obviously did get injured. So I lasted longer than I expected. I mean, I was pretty good for about 12 weeks, and it just gave in there in the Kilkenny game. So I don't know what my future holds, but definitely the team has plenty of talent. It's very clear, plenty of scoring power. I know we really kind of let ourselves down. It's funny, we saved our two worst games, but we lost a few players through injury, and Keane O'Sullivan and David Purslayer starting corner forwards against Wexford and Galway in the first 2 days. So we the panel thinned out a bit, and we were just hadn't got the same fluency that we started with. So, but I think that I haven't looked at them last year. Like, one of the reasons I came back is there's so much scoring power, and it's just, I just think there's plenty in this team. Yeah, there's loads more left in them.
It was probably a frustrating year when you look back at the results. But do you think if Dublin have put maybe a bit more of a performance up against Galway, you would have looked back and said, that was a brilliant year for us, say, getting out of Leinster, getting to a Leinster final and coming up against a very strong Clare team?
Yeah, no, like undoubtedly in the round, it was a good year. Won most of our games. Not that I had anything to do with it, but the lads got promoted from Division 2. So they're up where they should be, in Division 1. That'll definitely improve them going into next year. Did we top the group in Leinster? Or we definitely came close to it in the end. I think we drew one game and won the rest.
So, undefeated,
So like that's, unfortunately we lost a few too many bodies going into the Leinster final, and Galway definitely improved, and they just, yeah, they were a lot more composed on the day compared to us. So look, we'll learn from that. And then again, yeah, like I think we righted the ship, or we felt we had going into the Clare game, and structurally we were sound. We just on the day, we were just snatching at shots, maybe a bit of, a bit of nerves or something like that. But yeah, like in the round, got promotion, got to the Leinster final. You know, if you win that Galway game, it's the best year we've had in 20 years, you know. So unfortunately, it wasn't to be.
How do you see it faring out now with the final four that are left?
It's going to be interesting, yeah. So that's Galway and Cork. Good. Limerick and Clare. I think Limerick have looked very strong all year, haven't they? Look, they have a point to prove. They were probably second last year after we knocked them out with 14 men, but took their eye off the ball. I just think there's a real focus about them, isn't there? And that depth, they probably have fewer injuries than last year. So the guys who were starting or maybe coming on with 10 or 15 minutes ago having big impacts, you know, they clearly have their house in order. They're performing well. I don't know. Galway Cork will be very interesting. Galway Cork will be very interesting because Galway will seek to be very defensively sound. So, they kind of force you to shoot from range. Cork are good at that, but then, you know, if they really kind of slow down the Cork scoring machine, and then without a doubt, they'll try and do what Tip did last year, and they'll try and slow down the machine, drag it into the last 10, 15 minutes with only, you know, a few scores in the difference and see what happens then. But yeah, Galway are awkward, big counter-attacking team, draw everyone back, rabbit inside with, you know, Cotter Whelan. It's they're hard to keep nailed down because they rotate so much. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I think, you know, you'd have to favour Cork based on, you know, their form the last couple of years, but I don't know. Galway just sort of waiting in the long grass, I feel. So I think Limerick will ultimately win it out, to be honest. I just think they have the talent and they have the focus this year, and they're pretty healthy so far.
Would you find it difficult to watch those games now?
No. It'd be great to be in them. I don't have any difficulty watching them. It's tougher watching, you know. It's very tough watching the game on Saturday or watching the Leinster final when I come off, watching those on the sideline, very tough. You can't, you know, it's your team and you can't impact the outcome. But no, as a neutral, I would probably go to some of them.
Would you say like the game against Clare now, would you speak at halftime in a dressing room like that because you have so much experience over, you know, a relatively inexperienced team, even if you're not talking?
Well, I didn't. I actually had togged, so I didn't. I had nothing to say on Saturday. Not that there was much to say. I thought we had kind of rested back momentum. I think we were going in a decent position at halftime, and more of the same would have just been the message, which I'm sure it was. But I, with that calf injury, I basically couldn't warm up and then go cold on the bench. So I didn't actually warm up until halftime. So if anybody had gotten injured, I needed a back. I was there, but I couldn't. Yeah, so I was literally doing my warm up while the halftime messages were being passed on.
Well, look, Liam, thank you so much for your time, and unlucky again at the weekend, but hopefully we'll see you in action for Na Fianna again soon if that calf holds up.
Yep, thanks very much, Rachel. Hurling
on Off the Ball with Apple Green, making every journey a winning one.
This is News Talk.